Chapter 6, Volume 1, Spoiler, Click to Hide. It was beginning to drizzle at Bifeng, the wind was non-existent and the sound of raindrops colliding with the ground was enough to keep anyone in a deep slumber. Miller continued to sleep while Kai puts his jacket on and begin to wake the sleeping hound. "Miller, you're up?" Kai said, trying his best not to slap the girl in the face to get back at her, but he restrains himself. "Hello? Miller, get up," he repeats in his usual monotonic voice. "Miller," he finally yells. The hound abruptly wakes, while under her short panic, Miller grabs the katana on top of the night table and points it directly at Kai's face, only a few centimeters away from the tip of the blade. Kai attempts to keep a neutral face, but a sweat begins to roll down. "Perhaps it's best for you not to sleep next to your sword, and don't use protection as an excuse. That's what your psychic powers are for," he says in a semi-frightened voice. Miller notices the person she's pointing the katana at. "I'm sorry, you took me by surprise," Miller apologizes to Kai. She looks outside the window and notices the drizzle of rain. "Is it raining?" "Yeah, you think Jin is going to still train you today?" Miller thinks for a moment and gets out of the bed. "I'm going over there anyways," Miller said with determination, realizing she's still wearing her bathrobe. She said while scratching the back of her head, "Can you leave the room, please? I need to change my clothes." Kai leaves the room. After waiting a few minutes, Miller exits the room with her usual attire and holding her sword. Both canines begin to follow the mountain pass to Jin's house and notices Fang walking towards opposite direction. Miller greets the wolf. "Hi there, Fang."
"Oh, hello, Miller." Kai Fang greets both canines back. "So you're heading over to Jin's house, he's waiting for you guys.
So he's still going to train me in this weather?" "Well, he is a very disciplined man. Also, he seems very reserved," Fang explains. "Not that's a bad thing, he's actually very sweet and kind. In fact, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have a roof over my head, and neither would my younger siblings." "He offered you and your siblings a home?"
"Yeah,
well, he offered me a place to stay, but he knew someone who would take them in, Jai, the master of the Dongmen Dojo. He was willing to take my younger brother and sister."
"I might have met them then. What are their names?"
"Jinja and Tsuchi." Miller ponders for a moment, trying to recognize the names. She finally remembers the two siblings. "They're doing all right. Jinja is a sweet girl while Tsu is very heroic." Fang makes a faint laugh. "That sounds like them. Good to hear they're okay. I'll see you later."
"You go on ahead, I'm going to ask Fang something," Kai said to Miller. She makes a nod in response.
Miller decides to make up for lost time and begin running on all fours towards Jin's house. As the hound enters the house, she notices that no one's home. She searches the house for the missing general. She then sees a back door and sees Jin with both of his swords drawn with several logs with slices. Miller meets Jin at what she assumed was a training area.
"Hi there."
Jin makes a grin. "Took you long enough. What happened?"
"I overslept and we bumped into Fang. She seems really grateful for your hospitality."
"Really? That's the first time I heard her be grateful for anything, but I know why she doesn't admit to it."
"But that's not nice. She should be telling you that she is grateful, not me."
Jin pats Miller's head. "I'll tell you about it later. Let's get started," the draconic general said. He continues, "Show me what you got." He sits on top of a stump and began drinking tea as Miller starts swinging her sword and occasionally striking the training log. Meanwhile, Kai is at the shooting range. He grabs his sniper rifle, takes aims, and with outstanding precision he shoots down targets one by one. The soldiers and hunters at the range are left shocked at the husky boy's amazing accuracy. He never misses and always aim at the right points. As Kai continued to blast the targets and audience away, he begins to think about his discussion with Fang. "I'll give that woman credit, she's determined."
"What's the big idea?"
"What do you mean?"
"If your younger brother and sister is at Dongmen, why aren't you with them?"
"Because it's my fault that we're in this mess. Tsu and Jinja was always so close to me, so when I ran away after an argument with my father, Tsu and Jinja followed. We had no food, water or even shelter, but then Jin found us. He gave us shelter, but he couldn't provide for us all, so I decided to have Jin send them to the Dongmen Dojo where I know they will be treated well, and maybe even become stronger, while I get my life together.
That's why I'm working at the mine so I can raise money to someday be able to support my siblings. Well then I wish you luck, though don't do anything stupid or overdo it. Kai snaps back at reality, and realizes that all of the targets have been completely eradicated. The audience who gathered around Kai was in awe at his amazing performance. The husky looks around him, hey, never seen anyone practice his aim before? He said in a rude and monotonic manner. Kai enters the Bifeng Park and notices a few children playing at the playground with their older siblings. He snaps his tough who needs them. The husky finds a tree that seems big enough to shelter him from the drizzling rain. He lays down and takes a nap. Who needs siblings? Who needs family? Miller stances at the training area behind Jin's house. Exhausted from hours of training, she begins to hyperventilate from lack of oxygen. I think I'm going to pass out. Jin responds, you did great. I think you should relax now. You worked long and hard. You've shown that you have great determination. Thank you, Miller said, trying not to pass out. Let's get inside. Miller and Jin goes into the house. The dragon prepares some chow mein for both himself and Miller. He places two bowls on the dining table. What kind of drink would you like? Jin asks Miller. I'll take some seltzer, the hound responds in a happy voice. I know I complained about being tired earlier, but I really had a good time training, she continued, changing into a serious face. I'm pleased to hear that. I know that the training might be harsh, especially in this weather, Jin said while drinking some ginger tea. I'm fine with the harsh conditions. I lived in the wilds most of my childhood, not to mention what I've been through 2 years ago, but about Fang. Fang, she's a very independent woman. All she wants to do is protect her younger siblings. However, when we first met, she didn't have the means to care for them. How long has she lived with you now then? Asked Miller. 4 years now. She was 15, Saul was 10, and Ginger was only 4 at that time. Jin explained, we agreed that Dongmen Dojo was the best place for Saul and Ginger. I see, Miller said in a soft voice. The two continued to eat, however they hear Kai enter the house. I told her not to do something stupid, Kai said to himself. What happened? Miller asked in response. It's Fang. What about Fang? What happened to her? Jin demanded. She got herself lost in the mine. Some miners said that they couldn't find her. We need to find her then, but I fear that given the weather outside, the mines may not be the safest place to enter. The general ponders for a moment. Will you two find her? I'll try to convince the soldiers to let you into the mine. You guys are lighter and younger, so you should be able to fit through small crevices while safely go through the mine shaft. Miller joins in the conversation. But you're a dragon, couldn't you find her faster? Speed may not be the best thing for this situation. Those mines could be unstable. We don't want to cause a cave-in. Miller and Kai nods in agreement. Jin leads them to the main entrance to the Bifeng mines below the city east of the lift. Several soldiers was guarding the main entrance to the mine shaft. Jin told them to let Miller and Kai enter. The soldiers, although skeptical, obeyed the general's orders and permitted both canines entrance into the mine shaft. Chapter 7, Volume 1, Spoiler, Click to Hide. It had been 10 minutes since Miller and Kai entered the Bifeng mines. The two canines notices a large assortment of minerals and metals throughout the mine shaft. Kai, out of boredom, starts to list the different elements found in the mines: iron, lead, sodium, potassium, calcium, phosphorus, sulfur. Miller begins to daydream, either in response to Kai's monotonic voice or from walking through the monotonous pattern of steel and wooden supports. The hound starts to yawn and glare at her sword. How long are these mines? She thought to herself as she begins to feel exhausted from the boredom. The dripping water from the occasional stalactites did no justice. After a few more minutes of walking, the two dogs hears a faint earthquake which catches both Miller and Kai by surprise. Both decides to rush through the mines. We need to hurry, Miller argued. The two finally reaches the first intersection. The intersection was a large cavernous chamber ravaged with a multitude of stalagmites, stalactites, and variety of colorful crystalline formations. At the ceiling of the chamber is a round grating acting as a source of ventilation and sunlight. Networks of railways extends from the intersection into 4 of the 8 tunnels converging at the intersection. The other four tunnels had water running through them like a sort of aqueduct, however it was unsure whether the water was for drinking or sanitation. "It's so pretty," Miller said, impressed by the beautiful scene in front of her. "It's definitely a sight for sore eyes, but remember we're here to find." Kai is interrupted by more seismic activity. A swarm of bat-like irises appears out the northern tunnel, flying past Miller and Kai in a state of panic, leaving both canines confused. "What was that about?" Kai said, looking into the tunnel the irises emerged from. "I don't know, as long as it's not some kind of giant mantis, I think it'll be fine," Miller said with a small grin. Kai raises an eyebrow in confusion. "What is that supposed to mean?"
"It's best I don't talk about it."
"All right then, you'll tell me eventually. Let's see what's scared of those mutants." Miller and Kai follows the tunnel the irises vacated from. The main shaft had the same pattern of metallic and wooden support beams as the tunnel they entered the Bifeng mines from. As the earthquakes became more frequent, small dust particles begins to fall down from the ceiling. Both dogs cover their faces to avoid breathing the potentially harmful particles. They reach an elevator shaft at the end of the tunnel, however the elevator was at the bottom level. Both Miller and Kai looks down the shaft out of curiosity.
"You think the lift is down there?"
Kai asked rhetorically.
"We should go down there," Miller said.
Kai looks around and notices a ladder. "I guess we can take that ladder, it's used for elevator maintenance." Miller sees the old rusty ladder and makes a skeptical look. "Hey, I think you can take the ladder, I'm just going to jump down," Miller said.
"You can't survive that fall, I'd like to see you try."
"Let me get down first though." Kai climbs down the ladder and in a skeptical posture he awaits Miller at the bottom of the shaft, on the inactive lift. Miller jumps down the shaft with her legs folded toward her body. When she got close enough to the ground she extends her legs, giving off a powerful burst of psychic energy, stopping her velocity and allowing her to land safely.
"I didn't know you can do that."
"Yeah, I actually used to fly, but I guess it became impractical as I became older, so I learned to use my psychic energy to boost me up places I can't normally reach," Miller explains. Kai makes a skeptical face, imagining the concept of a flying basset hound. He shakes his head and starts walking with Miller behind him. Again seismic activity commenced. Miller and Kai became worried about the frequent earthquakes that began to annoy them. They reach an underground lake with a similar theme to the intersection, after heading west of the lift. The lake gave out a dense steam, giving both canines the impression that the lake was boiling hot, so they try to avoid falling into the body of water. Off in the distance, across the boiling lake, was what appeared to be a sort of drill digging into the ground.
"What is that thing?"
Kai said. Miller squint her eyes to get a better view, unable to compete with Kai's superior vision. She finally get a clear view and sees about three extractors guarded by hoppers, slugs and fire spitters.
"I remember those things," Miller said. "They were at the ancient ruins, where the kingdom stone was.
Well, before it got stolen."
"Is that so?"
Kai said in intrigue, while maintaining his monotonous tone. "Well, whatever they're mining for, we should stop them. I wouldn't want to be stuck in some cave just because of a couple of bots." Miller nods in agreement. Kai continues, "Though I guess trying to swim across this boiling lake would be suicide, we'll have to find another way around."
"Couldn't you just shoot them down?"
Miller responds.
"I would if it wasn't for this mist.
Maybe we should see if the other passages leads to somewhere, but let's not forget about Fang," Miller said in response.
"Why not?"
Both Miller and Kai backtracks, this time using the lift to reach ground level. They reach the intersection and take the northwestern tunnel, however it led to a dead end. They were greeted with an old lantern that seemed to have run out of oil, with a large boulders blocking the passage which seemed to have caused only a small stream of water to flow through underneath the large rocks. Assuming a cave-in caused the rocks to collapse blocking the northwestern passage, they went into the western tunnel, across from the exit tunnel. The west tunnel began to slope down and the two canines found another intersection. This intersection was much smaller and simpler. The second intersection was a round room, about 10 or 12 feet in diameter with only four passageways as opposed to eight. The northern entrance was blocked by wooden boards with the following writing:
the writing translated to "Do not enter, poisonous gas." The Hound and Husky decides to go further west and finds a small chamber. Miller enters the chamber first. Both her and Kai hears another rumbling sound. In an instant the ceiling began to collapse above the two dogs, caving in the tunnel and separating Miller and Kai. Miller falls under a short panic and begins to breathe heavily as though she was losing oxygen. She hears a faint yell through the rocks.
"Miller! You're alive?"
the faint voice said. Miller shakes herself out of her panic attack and responds, "Kai.
Is that you?"
"It's me, just keep going, I'll take another passageway and try to meet you."
"Okay," the semi-scared Basset Hound responds and began following the pathway.
"It's okay, Miller, you're not going to lose oxygen, you're going to be all right," she thought to herself. "It's already been an hour, I need to hurry. I need to be brave." Miller starts to dwell deeper into the mine shaft. The familiar sound of water drops and seismic disturbances echoes throughout the mines, leaving her uneasy. Every sound she hears causes a reflex that makes her raise her katana in defense. Her sensitive ears hear the individual sound waves of the faint and subtle sounds of the underground passages, the echoes leaving a chill down her spine and the small earthquakes causing her heart to race. After another 15 minutes of walking, she sees someone laying on her side. She runs towards the person and recognizes Fang. Miller drags the unconscious Tibetan wolf and with all her strength sits the wolf against the wall. Miller looks through her backpack and grabs a canteen. There's only a few sips left, she thought, giving some water to Fang. After another 15 minutes the wolf begins to move. She slowly opens her eyes and sees a familiar face, however she wasn't seeing Miller's face. The face she saw was a shy, Tibetan wolf girl. Her hair was a bright ginger, and her eyes was golden.
"Gee, Ginger?"
Fang said, while under her hallucination. Miller responds, "It's me, Miller." Fang snaps out of her fantasy and realizes the hound girl sitting in front of her. "M. Miller?" Fang said in an embarrassed and surprised voice, what are you doing here? This place is dangerous. I should be saying the same to you. Why did you split up from the other miners? Why are you even at the mines today? It'd been almost 90 minutes since me and Kai entered these mines.
90 minutes?
Jin sent us to get you out of here. Are you all right?
I'm fine.
No, you're not. Miller said, aware that Fang is lying.
I'm fine, I said.
Fang persisted. The wolf notices her yelling didn't faze the hound's serious expression, but she could tell the girl was uneasy in this setting.
I'm sorry. I guess I got myself in this big mess, like always.
What do you mean?
Miller asked.
Fang clarifies, when I was working at the mines a few hours ago, I noticed a glint piece of rock. It took me a few minutes to notice that the glint rock was a small diamond, so I followed the tunnel where I found the diamond. When I found the diamond ore, I went towards it, but then the tunnel caved in and I lost access to the deposit. I tried to find my way out but I got lost. Miller changes the subject. Kai told me about Ginger and Saul. Those diamonds were supposed to give us a better life, we could have lived as a real family, just like my siblings wanted.
It's not fair.
Fang began to cry in frustration. I've let them down, I bet they don't even see me as a sister anymore, just some girl who abandoned them. The wolf began to have an emotional breakdown. Miller gave a sad, sympathetic look to her face. She attempts to calm the melancholy wolf. You know, Ginger and Saw, they've always talked about you, they still think that one day you'll come back to take them.
Really?
Of course, Miller said with a smile on her face. Also look at the people who supported you, the friends you've made. Jin deserves some respect, if you're really grateful then show it.
Thank you. I needed to hear that. The wolf gets up and gave Miller a hug. I hope my sister turns out like you.
It was my pleasure. Come on, let's get out of here.
Can you still use that pickaxe strapped to your back?
Yeah. Miller gives out a faint smile. The two girls began to walk down the mine shafts. Kai finds another lift down the southern passageway from the second intersection. As he went down the lift, he is greeted with several slugs in irises. He takes aim with his dual pistols and swiftly takes out every single mutant. He runs down the new pathway heading north. He finally returns to the boiling lake where he and Miller found the extractors. However, there's no robots to be found. Where are those machines? Kai thinks to himself. He hears an earthquake. He decides to head back to the first intersection. As he went back towards the lift at the southern passageway at the second intersection, he notices a strange tunnel over at the main shaft behind the lift. He walks down the main shaft and investigates the mysterious tunnel. Unlike most of the tunnels he passed by, this one was round and lacked any support beams and geographical features. It's like this tunnel was made a few moments ago, but the only thing I can think of that would make these tunnels at such a short time. Kai thought observing the mysterious tunnel from a distance, whatever caused this, might be responsible for all of these earthquakes. Kai cautiously steps back. He takes the lift back to ground level and runs over to the second intersection. The previous seismic activity seemed to have caused the gas from the northern passageway to escape into the intersection. The husky covers his face and holds his breath and dashes through the poisonous gas and reaches the main intersection. Kai sees two figures appearing from the southwest tunnel at the main intersection. He recognizes the two figures of a hound and wolf. The hound responds to Kai's presence, "Look who I found." The hound starts running towards Kai on all fours as the wolf follows. Kai gives off a faint smile. "I see you're in one piece, Miller," he said. "You also found Fang. Let's hurry back then. These mines are going to collapse indefinitely. We've been here for 2 hours and 15 minutes now." "What do you mean these mines are going to collapse?" Fang responds in a worried voice. "Something is drilling through these mines, something very big. Could it be what's causing these small earthquakes?" "I'm sure of it. Let's get out of this place, now." The three canines hear an extremely loud rumble. Large rocks began to fall from the ceiling. Miller prepares an energy shield large enough to protect all three of canines from the falling rocks. The eastern tunnel, which leads to the Bifeng mine's exit, began to collapse. The multitude of falling rocks prevented Miller and Co. from leaving the energy shield, which covered them like an umbrella, preventing them from taking the exit tunnel. The eastern tunnel finally gives out and the exit is blocked. "How are we going to get out now?" Miller said after the rocks ceased falling. Immediately another rumble followed and from the ground emerged a large mechanical worm-like drill. The drill spun at an extreme speed, and the worm had what appears to be small lasers, likely used to cut through harder rocks and metals, surrounding the drill of the robot. "I guess we found out what caused those seismic activities," Kai yells, somewhat intimidated by the mechanical worm. The worm's several lasers converged, creating a spiraling ball of energy, firing a larger, more powerful beam of concentrated heat directly towards the canines. The laser cuts through the walls of the cavern with ease as Miller, Kai and Fang dodges the attack. The worm began the drill towards them and through the cavern walls. The drilling caused more rocks to collapse from the ceiling. Miller creates the same shield from before in Kai's and Fang's defense. As soon as the worm emerges, it begins to charge up its mining laser. Kai aims his sniper rifle at the worm's drill and fires an explosive bullet. The explosion halts the worm's attack and damages its drill, causing it to malfunction. However, the force of the explosion caused more seismic activity. "What are you trying to do, bury us?" Fang complained. The worm charges at the unsuspecting wolf. "Look out!" Miller and Kai said simultaneously. Fang dodges the raging worm. The machine was unable to properly drill through the wall with its damaged drill. Fang takes the pickaxe still strapped to her back and starts whacking the robot with it. Miller and Kai witnesses the scene with doubt. "What exactly is that supposed to do?" Kai said in response to Fang's actions. "I don't know. I don't want to do nothing, you know," Fang responses in an exasperated voice. The worm began moving again the moment Fang's pickaxe began to break through one of its segments, revealing a large quantity of crystals. Its drill began to function and the worm drilled into the wall again, causing more seismic activity. The worm appears off the opposite wall and charges at Miller. She moves out of the way. Kai aims his rifle at the worm and another explosion occurs, exploding the worm's mid-segments and cutting it down half its size. A swarm of energy crystals scatters across the cavernous intersection. Miller aims the familiar square of energy directly at the worm, which emerged from the southeastern tunnel aiming its drill towards her. The surge of psychic energy causes the drill to malfunction again, the worm crashes against the floor. She dodges out of the way, and Kai aims at a stalactite above the stationary worm, causing the rock formation to fall on top of the mechanical worm. The worm bursts into scrap metal, scattering several crystals and releasing a swarm of mutants. The three canines watch the mutants fly out of the mines through the round lattice at the ceiling of the intersection. Fang makes an optimistic smile. "Well, that's that." Kai responds in a condescending manner. "It's not like you did anything useful."
"Hey!
I did something useful. Whacking alien machinery with a steel pickaxe? It still damaged it." Miller interrupts. "Can you stop arguing? We all worked together to take down that robot." "Thank you, Miller," Fang said in agreement. A large destructive earthquake began, shaking the ground below the canine's feet with a multitude of rocks raining down above them. The Bifeng Mines was beginning to collapse. Chapter 8, Volume 1, Spoiler, Click to Hide. The constant rumbling of seismic activity causes Miller and Fang to look around frantically as Kai calmly observes the environment for an exit. "Hey, before I suggest something, are you sure there's not another exit somewhere?" Kai asks Fang. The worried Tibetan wolf responds, "I'm pretty sure there's not another exit. Besides, I'd rather stay here than in some underground tunnel in the middle of an earthquake." "We can't just stay here. This isn't any earthquake. The mine shaft is starting to collapse. Anyways, I think our only exit is right above us." Kai points directly towards the lattice at the intersection ceiling. Both Miller and Fang looks at the lattice and gives Kai a doubtful look. "How exactly are we supposed to get up there? And how are we going to cut through those bars in time?" Miller continues for Fang. "Miller is going to cut through the lattice. As for getting up there, well, let me think for a moment," Kai explains. The falling rocks continue as the earth continues to growl. "Me?" Miller said in an exasperated voice. "This is theoretical, but if you can transfer your psychic energy into that blade, then you can likely cut through the lattice quick enough. Just take this rope and pull us up when you reach the top." Kai grabs a random rope from the floor. Fang makes a frighteningly skeptical face. Miller responds, "You're insane. I don't know if I can do that." "Well, the handle is made from the same material as your anklets and gloves, so you better hope it works, unless you want us to be fossils." Miller thinks about the situation and reluctantly nods her head. Kai continues, "I guess you can use your psychic powers to boost yourself up. Good luck." Miller, with a burst of energy from her feet, launches herself into the air. She quickly uses her super shield burst for more reach and grabs onto a rigid stalactite with her right hand. She climbs up the large collapsing stalactite. With another psychic blast, she boosts herself towards the lattice. The hound hangs onto a convenient bar next to the lattice with one hand, holding her katana with the other. "I hope I don't fall," she thought to herself. "You're okay over there," yelled Fang. "No rush, but can you please hurry up?" Miller concentrates as she attempts to transfer her psychic energy into her katana. As she focuses on the blade, green sparks began to manifest from the sword. "Come on. Please. Just work." Miller's thoughts began to run wild as she focuses. "Please." Somehow, by command, the blade made a familiar jade glow that gave her a sense of salvation. Miller immediately slices the grid open. The square piece of grid that Miller cut off falls down in front of Kai and Fang. Both canines look towards each other in surprise. "Going to be honest, I didn't think that would actually work," Kai admits. Miller climbs into the surface and throws down the rope that Kai gave her. As the two canines began to climb the rope, Miller notices that she's somewhere at the city. Several miners and soldiers stood there watching in awe as the Basset Hound, that just cut through metal bars, struggles to pull something up from the hole she emerged from. She makes a nervous laugh. "Can you help me, pretty please?" the Basset Hound asks. Fang responds, "Why are you asking?" "We're climbing for our lives." The residents recognizes Fang's exasperated voice and ran to aid Miller. Together, the miners and soldiers helps Miller pull Kai and Fang out from Bifeng Mine. The Bifeng residents who came to aid her began to talk among one another. "What happened? Why is Fang still doing in those mines?" "I hope she's okay," Let's keep pulling. All right, guys, let's pull one more time, in 1, 2, 3. With one strong pull, Miller and the townspeople pull the two canines out of the collapsing mines. The moment Kai and Fang climbs out of the opening, everyone hears a massive crashing sound. Dust began to spew out of the opening. The three canines are at the infirmary, they are covered in dirt and soot, and a kind lynx nurse offers them some tea which seem to have been made with health petals. Here you go, I hope this makes you feel better, said the nurse very kindly. Thank you, Fang said. The nurse was caught off guard by Fang's change of tone. It was my pleasure. You're welcome, Fang Shi, the nurse responds. What about you, Miller Bassett? Kai Xin. Miller and Kai gestures by nodding their heads. The nurse makes a big smile and exits the room. After a few minutes, Jin enters the room. I hope you guys are all right. I'm deeply sorry for the inconvenience. Miller makes a wide grin. It's okay. I'm just glad Fang is okay. Fang have something to say to you. She looked towards Fang's direction. Oh, is that so? Jin gives off an intrigued face. Fang begins to speak. I'm sorry. Sorry for what? I'm sorry I haven't thanked you for all you've done for me, for my brother and sister. Fang said in a humble voice. You don't need to thank me, I was happy to help. I can see Miller taught you a few lessons though, Jin said, glaring at the smiling Bassett hound. Kai interrupts with his usual monotonic voice. So, with that all said and done, what next? Well, if Miller is willing, we can continue her training. I've finished making her katana's sheath, this one should be more convenient for her. Jin hands over the simple brown sheath to the excited Bassett hound, sitting up on top of the infirmary bed. Thank you, Miller said. You guys should get some rest. As for the situation about Bifeng mines, I'm sure the mayor will somehow get the miners and even the QIN soldiers to help out with its reconstruction. In fact, the mayor wanted me to thank you for riding the minds of those evil machines. All three canines makes a faint nod. Jin leaves the room and the canines begins to rest. 4 months have passed, and at the backyard behind Jin's house is Miller holding her katana, wearing her tank top and pants, practicing her technique. Kai and Fang observes the hound's movements and strikes while munching on potato chips. Jin steps out and sees the young girl's improvements. I'm impressed. It only have been 4 months and you've shown significant improvement, Jin said in an impressed tone. Well, I did have a good teacher, Miller said with great determination. I think anyone could have taught you how to use a katana, Jin chuckles. I think it's time you're given a challenge, Miller tilts her head in confusing. Jin responds with a grin. You will duel me. Miller's expression changed from confusion to intimidation. This will be good, Kai said in anticipation as he makes a dark grin. Fang makes a worried expression. I know she've improved, but Jin, don't you think you're too advanced for her? She protested with a soft voice, so that only Jin can hear her. Jin hands over one of his dual swords to Fang, and says, don't worry, I'm sure she'll handle herself, though that doesn't mean she'll win. If you know she doesn't have a good chance to win, then why fight her? It's more like survival, and some humility won't hurt. Though she's already quite modest, so I suppose she needs more determination than humility. Miller prepares her katana and stance as Jin draws his singular sword, pointing the blade at the hound. Jin charges at Miller with incredible speed. She blocks his attack and moves out of range. If you can use your dragon speed, then I guess I can use my psychic powers, she called as her sword emanates a glowing jade energy. Jin responds, be my guess, as long as you're using your sword. The dragon charges at the hound again. Instead of blocking the attack, Miller attempts to parry the dragon's attack with a burst of psychic energy with a swing of her blade. Jin dodges the attack and strikes back. The hound makes a defensive position, however the dragon breaks through her defense and thrusts his sword at Miller, causing her to fall backwards with the blade inches from her face. Now you know how I felt, Kai said, disregarding any possible danger towards Miller. Jin sheathes his sword. It makes me happy to see you're adapting to your blade, he said as he helps the hound up. You deserve a nice lunch. He turned towards Kai and Fang and asks a similar question. You two want something as well? Both the observing canines makes a small nod. After everyone eats lunch, The three canines sits down at Jin's living room waiting for their host to arrive. The draconic general walks in and begins to speak, "As much as it pains me to say, I think it's time that you two leave Bifeng, not for the reasons you think. I have a favor to ask you."
"A favor?" Miller said in response. "I need you guys to go to the imperial capital Tsungyang."
Kai makes a suspicious look on his face. "The capital? Why do you need us to go there?"
"I can't give you the details, but I need you to take my place at Qian's annual establishment festival. Normally peasants cannot enter the imperial capital, but every year in September they celebrate the founding of the Qian Empire. A large quantity of citizens will be attending, including the current leaders of the four compass direction cities. The northern mining city of Bifeng, the southern coastal village of Nangang, the western agriculture village of Xicheng, and the eastern trade city of Dongmen."
"What? You need us to keep the peace or something?"
Kai said sarcastically.
"More or less."
"All right, then we'll attend the festival for you," Miller said, "but what about our training?"
Jin pats the hound's head, making a smile. "I think it's time you start to teach yourself. There's no better teacher than experience, but don't rely heavily on your blade, especially when you have other abilities that can help you in battle."
Miller nods back. Both Miller and Kai heads towards the inn. They pack their stuff and waves goodbye to the general and Fang.
"I don't trust his motives for sending us over to Tsungyang," Kai said.
"I'm sure he have very good intentions," Miller said in Jin's defense. As Jin and Fang watch the two dogs leave the city, Fang heads over back at the house and Jin begins to ponder to himself, "Perhaps that girl could help you, my empress, and maybe even change this empire for the better."
Chapter 9, Volume 1, Spoiler, Click to Hide. Miller and Kai are back at the Qian Plains. It only took them a few days to return to the calm windy plains in contrast to the whole week they spent reaching Bifeng. The sun began to set and they are in need of a light source.
"We should have brought some firewood with us before entering these plains," Kai said as he views the sunset, likely calculating the exact time.
"I'd say it's about 6:15.
"We don't need to worry about light," Miller said as a glowing cube of jade energy manifests from her hand.
"I'm guessing we're having fruit for dinner then?"
"Sorry, my phantom block can't cook food," Miller admits.
"Well, if that's the case, then we might as well just keep on going till it's time to sleep."
Miller looks into her backpack and takes out some fruit. She tosses the food towards Kai. The two dogs starts to eat their food while the hound holds the light source with her left hand. The familiar sound of the wind whistling through the sparse trees puts Miller at ease.
"It feels so nice to be back here," Jin said, "that the leaders of the compass direction cities will be attending, including the newly crowned empress. I wonder how she's like," she thought as she lays down on the soft green grass, staring into the usual blue swirl of energy. The hound draws her sword and stares into the steel blade. She begins to recall what Jin said to her.
"I think it's time you start to teach yourself. There's no better teacher than experience, but don't rely heavily on your blade, especially when you have other abilities that can help you in battle. To think that more than 2 years ago, before I met Lilac and Carol, that I didn't think much about my powers. I thought it was natural. Now, all I think about is how I can improve them, but I also feel different. There's no one else like me. Most people just think I use magic." Kai seemed to have been smart enough to know the difference. "If this isn't magic, if I'm the only one with these powers, why am I thinking this way? I shouldn't worry myself. I should get some shut eye. Instead of thinking too hard, I should be focusing for the day ahead." The next day in the afternoon, Miller and Kai continues their journey to the imperial capital, Tsungyang. The hound and husky notices a vehicle off to the side of the road and investigates the site.
"Who do you think owns this?"
Miller asks. Kai simply shrugs his shoulders in response. After a few more minutes of examining the mysterious vehicle, she recognizes it.
"This is...
hey!
Long time no see."
Both canines hears a voice, and sees a middle-aged hare. Next to him was a familiar stern-looking giant panda.
"Jing!
Wee!"
Miller called out to the hare and panda, waving both her hands.
"Wee makes a great chuckle. It's a pleasure to see you again. Miller Bassett, you too, Kai. Miller gestures with a bow while Kai stays leaning against the vehicle.
So where are you two going? Jing said.
We're heading over to Tsungyang, Kai responds.
Hui's makes a serious expression, and responds, Tsungyang?
I see, so the general sent you there, let me give you some advice before you enter the capital.
Miller and Kai makes a serious expression in response, attentively listening to Hui's wisdom.
Do not let anyone in Tsungyang know that you came from the Origin Kingdoms.
Shang Mu, Shang Tu, and Shuigang.
Why not?
Miller said in confusion, while Kai makes an uninterested expression, as though he already knows Wei's reasoning.
Although the residents and officials born and raised in the Compass Direction cities usually do not care whether or not you're a Qian citizen, Tsungyang is different. They don't take kindly to any outsiders, especially those who came from the Origin Kingdoms. If they was to find out that you was one of the heroes that saved Avalis, all I can say is that they wouldn't be very happy. With that said, please try to keep your identity a secret.
Miller makes a large sigh. All right, hey Jing, why are you going to the capital?
Jing makes his usual smile. I'm actually Xia Cheng's most profitable farmer. You can say that our crops are pride of the Western Village, but I also help out with the other farmers as well. I'm going to the festival to sell some of my produce and grains.
The hare continues, also me and Hui actually knew each other for years now, so knowing the mayor very well can help out.
Our children being close friends also helps.
Hui joins the conversation. Speaking of children, Talia have been doing great since you left. In fact, she've gotten quite brave.
I guess you've inspired her.
Miller modestly scratches the back of her head as Kai makes a small grin.
Hey, we can take you to Tsungyang. We was just getting supplies from a smaller village, or do you plan as walking all the way to the city?
Jing references.
Deja vu, Miller thought to herself and accepts Jing's offer with a big smile. Both the hound and husky gets into the vehicle with Jing and Hui. The vehicle drives through the road to Tsungyang.
The next morning Miller continued to think in ways that made her uneasy.
I don't understand, why do Tsungyang hate outsiders?
It doesn't seem right. I normally try to hide my full name from people anyways, though that usually doesn't end well for me, but to hide my identity because where I come from, maybe I shouldn't complain. I never liked my recent fame anyways.
Hey, we're here.
Miller snaps out of her thoughts from hearing Jing's voice. Her and Kai look out of their respective sides of the roofless vehicle and sees Tsungyang in the distance.
Chapter 10, Volume 1, Spoiler, Click to Hide. Tsungyang is the capital city of the Qian Empire. Divided into three layers, the outer layer of the city consists of the commercial and recreational districts filled with parks, shopping centers, restaurants, and community centers. The middle layer is the residential and educational districts. Since Tsungyang consists mostly of aristocrats, the district consists of villas, mansions, universities and private schools. The center consists of the royal, governmental and religious districts. Miller and Kai can see the large amount of people entering through one of the four entrances into the city. The outer wall was about 12 feet tall and was made of stone. Qian soldiers guarded each entrance with either spears or rifles equipped, directing the commoners into the outer layer of the city, where the majority of the festival will be taking place. Jing parks his vehicle at the side of the road leading to the western gate. As they enter the city in trance, a soldier halts them.
Identification, please.
The soldier demanded.
Hui responds, I am the current mayor of Xiacheng, Hui Tian. He looks towards the other three besides him. This is Jing Yu, he's here to raise money for our village.
These children with us are called Kai and Miller. He attempts to keep the hounds and husky's last name unknown.
The soldier gestures with a short nod. Move forward. Hui Tian, you may go to the governmental district to meet with the other town leaders. As for the rest of you, go to one of the waiting areas for further instruction.
Hui gestures Jing with a short nod. The hare nods in return as though he knew what the panda meant.
Let's find a waiting area, stay with me until we are instructed to leave.
Jing said to both canines.
As Miller, Kai and Jing walk through the streets, looking for a waiting area, they witness how the tranquil parks and streets slowly became crowded with people of all types, A variety of colorful banners and decorations paints the city as lanterns of all shapes and sizes are found scattered throughout. They finally find an available waiting area. About 10 minutes later, a cheerful guide appears before the two canines, surprising them. "Welcome to the annual establishment festive," the spunky guide said with great excitement.
"Thank you," Miller said with a big smile.
"Kai interrupts overselling it, don't you think?" he said with a clearly annoyed look to his face. Miller scolds the monotonic husky as she bumps him with her shoulder.
"Sorry about that,"
Jing apologizes.
"It's all right, anyways, take these IDs and have a great festival,"
the guide said, handing over what appears to be cards, their first names written on the card with their picture from the West Gate, before they entered the city.
Miller, Kai and Jing take their respective cards, the guide tends to the other guests.
"All right, I'll be over at my booth, you two be careful and whatever you do, do not let anyone know who you are," Jing said in a soft voice.
"Don't worry, I have an idea," Kai said with a smirk. Jing gestures with a nod and leaves the two canines to themselves.
"Luckily for us, I bought us some cloaks back at Bifeng, initially for when it rains, but I suppose we can use them to maintain our cover." Kai hands over Miller a beige-colored cloak as he puts on his gray one. The husky straps his rifle over the cloak but keeps the dual pistols and knife hidden underneath. Miller puts her cloak on, hiding her katana underneath. She still felt uneasy about hiding her identity for the reasons we explained, it just isn't right. As the two cloaked dogs walk down the crowded, loud and colorful streets, they see a large arrangement of carnival rides and booths, ranging from stores to mini games.
"Let's get on that ride,"
she argues, pointing towards what appears to be a swinging ship.
"Seriously?"
the husky responds with a monotonous manner.
"Come on.
Even you want to have some fun once in a while, don't be a killjoy."
"No,"
Kai persisted. "Please, I really want something to put my mind out of hiding my identity."
"So, you've tried to hide who you are before?"
"This is different, I've tried to hide who I am for personal reasons, but not to hide where I'm from," Miller admits in an exasperated voice. Kai gives off a loud sigh fine. He says reluctantly. Miller makes a large excited smile as she dashes on all fours towards the admission booth, the husky follows behind her. They buy an admission ticket and waits in line. The embarrassed husky makes another loud sigh. "Most of the kids in this line are like 9 or 10, granted that's only a few years younger, but the only other older people are their parents." As both canines enter the ride, Miller continues to process her reasoning. "Ugh, this hood is bothering my ears and hair. It feels weird hiding my face, to be notorious. I wonder why Jin sent us here. Did he even know about this place's feelings towards me? I think he said he's wasn't from QIN2, where did he said he's from again? Long Tuddy?
Besides, maybe he knows how this feel, perhaps I shouldn't let it get to me."
Kai snaps his fingers in front of Miller's face. She snaps out of her thoughts and realizes that the ride finished its circuit. The hound sees a few worried adult faces accompanied with the confused faces of their children.
"I'm all right," she announced, as she leaves the scene with Kai. She can hear the whispers from the crowds with her sensitive ears.
"Who is that girl? Is she all right? She was acting kind weird. Why is she cloaked? What does she have to hide?" Miller tried to cover her ears. Despite being capable of controlling her hearing, her curiosity and insecurity got the better of her, still hearing the crowd's whispers. She hears Kai's voice from the barrage of strange voices that seem to have been piercing through her ears like needles. "Miller, you're all right? Want to go to another ride, or you want something to eat?" Feeling relieved to hear a familiar voice, Miller responds, "I think something to eat will be nice," she says, breathing heavily from stress. The two dogs make their way to a restaurant for lunch. After going through the menu, both Miller and Kai orders a turkey and fish sandwich respectively with fries. The husky comments on the type of food the restaurant makes. "Who knew the rich eat this too?" he said in his usual monotonic voice. The previously distraught hound makes a small smile and giggles. It was about 1 in the afternoon and the two canines continued to walk around, occasionally getting on rides and playing minigames to preoccupy themselves. When it became 2:30, the crowds became more dense and harder to traverse. It was around 3 o'clock when Miller realizes that she lost sight of Kai. She didn't want to cause a scene, so she just continued on her own. Chapter 11, Volume 1, Spoiler, Click to Hide. It was 4:15 in the afternoon. Miller continues to tread through the large crowds of people in an attempt to search for Kai, however all she can see is a sea of guests. The commoners wore casual and basic clothing while the aristocrats wore more complex and regal clothes. She notices a few soldiers, workers and entertainers among the crowd. Some guests seemed fairly suspicious and others, mostly children, were as innocent as ever. Miller asks a few people if they've seen the monotonic husky, wearing a gray cloak, however her efforts were in vain. Miller begins to worry about Kai's whereabouts. It'll be fine, he's likely waiting or even looking for me I think. There's so many people here, a lot more than I'm used to. I just hope things goes well for us. Miller sees a booth selling popsicle sticks and buys herself a cherry-flavored popsicle. She sits on top of an available bench as she eats the fruity popsicle. The flavor distracts the hound of her current situation, temporarily relaxing her. 10 minutes later she continues to look for the husky who accompanied her for months now, but like before no one knew anyone by that description. It was now 5:00 in the afternoon and the hound has yet to find the lost husky. At least his cloak makes him noticeable, but with this many people around I can't use my hearing nor smell. Miller drops her head in shame, unable to use her naturally powerful senses nor track Kai with a psychic energy signature. Kai, where are you? Miller notices what appears to be a hooded figure. She begins to walk towards the figure hoping for it to be Kai. As she approaches the hooded person she realizes that it wasn't Kai. The person wore a black robe held together with what appears to be a beige sash. It was an older male rabbit with orange hair, white fur and heterochromic eyes which were coincidentally the same color as her anklets. Sorry, I thought you were someone else. Miller apologizes. It's no problem, though it seems we are both looking for someone. The rabbit said with calming voice which seemed to have relieved the hound of all her stress. Miller carelessly responds with a bizarre question, can I hear your voice again? Okay? Miller realizes what she just asked. Hey, I'm sorry about that, so you said you were looking for someone too? She says with an embarrassed voice with her face turning red, why did I ask that? That's weirder than asking someone if I can touch their hair, though Lilac's hair is kind fun to play with. The rabbit gestures with a mellow smile, I was traveling with a girl. About your age actually. She's a panda with a dark purple cloak on. Miller ponders for a moment, a panda girl, my age? That sounds familiar. She finally shakes her head in response. Ah, I see. Perhaps we can find our companions together? Sure, Miller responds. Mind if I ask for your name? The hound hesitates to respond. M. Miller, she said with a soft voice. I know you're not from around here, neither am I. Don't be afraid to tell me your full name. Miller Bassett, she said with a deep breath, what's yours? The rabbit makes a warm smile, my name is Vix Cole. It took Kai about 30 minutes after splitting up from Miller to notice that the heroic Bassett hound wasn't following him anymore. She got herself lost, didn't she? The husky ponders on what action to take. I could try to look for her. But perhaps it's best I wait till night, where everyone will most likely find places to stay. I think it's best to wait, though knowing her, she's likely looking for me now. The monotonic husky decides to get some food first before searching for Miller. He buys himself a bowl of chow mein and a quick drink. After finishing his dinner he went to look for Miller. Unlike her however he was more focused. With his powerful sight and photographic memory he was able to look through the thick crowds more efficiently. However despite his skills he was unable to find the hound. I'm sure I'll find her before she finds me, there's too many people for her to use her sense of smell or hearing, also she didn't tag me with her psychic energy because I never allowed her to do so. Ironic how I'm right now a more efficient tracker, than a naturally born tracker. It was 5:30, the sun was reaching dusk. The sky began to turn orange as the lanterns started glow. As Kai begins to tread through the crowds like usual, Suddenly in the corner of his eye he notices a cloaked figure walking past him. The person didn't appear to have noticed him. The husky managed to get a good enough look of the person's face to see that it was female with dark blue hair. The girl was about his height and her face looked young. He assumes that she was about his age, however he couldn't see any more details through her dark purple cloak. Kai quickly turns around to approach the cloaked girl, but she was nowhere to be found, likely lost in the crowd. Who in the ancient's name was that? Kai said to himself. He continues to glare suspiciously at the direction the girl was walking towards. Something isn't right. Who exactly was that girl and why do I feel like she's someone of importance? The husky shakes his head and continued looking for Miller. Although Kai attempts to keep his attention towards searching for the lost hound, he couldn't stop thinking about that cloaked girl. Ugh, why do I keep thinking about that girl? I know something about her is shady, but why does that matter? It's not like I'm any better. That's it. I need to find out who on Avalis is that girl. Let me find Miller first, then we'll find out together. Something is going to happen in this forsaken city, I just know it. Kai couldn't keep his patience, so he decides to ask one of the occasional QIN soldiers for the mysterious girl's identification. Hey, have you seen a girl, about my age wearing a dark purple cloak? The soldier responds, no, I can't say I have. Is she a friend of yours? Not really, just curious. Here's a better question, have you seen a Basset hound around my age too? She have orange hair, green eyes, beige fur, currently wearing a beige cloak. I have seen a Basset hound of that description. She was with some guy with a black robe who held some sort of stave with a yellow crystal at the tip. Thank you, Kai said with his monotonous voice. Kai makes a worried yet monotonous expression as he processes what he just heard, a guy with a black robe, and he had an energy manipulation staff? The guard said the crystal was yellow, so the person Miller's with have earth affinity. What did you get yourself into, Miller? Chapter 12, Volume 1. The evening at the festival was far more tranquil and quiet than it was in the afternoon. The majority of the guests either went home or found an inn to stay at. Miller and Vix continued to walk through the calming parks, with a minimal amount of people outside. Miller was finally able to relax. The hound makes a deep breath as the evening air flowed through her nostrils. Vix, who was besides the hound, also took the peace and quiet of the outer lair's botanical gardens holding his staff. He looks at the Basset hound who accompanied him, to think that of all people I would find in this place, it would be Miller Basset. Despite his calm demeanor, something was bothering the rabbit. Why can't I see her affinity? Everyone have affinity, at least everyone in Avalis that is. Perhaps I should ask her. No, I don't think she would know much about the Wu Crossing. She doesn't strike me as someone who's interested in such technicalities. The thing is that, from what I've heard, she was able to make shields and projectiles. Surely she must be using ether, right? There's only two forms of energy manipulation, physical and elemental. It doesn't matter right now, I should ask her why she's here to begin with. I must ask, what is someone like you doing here? Vix asks. Miller gives a confused look to her face. Someone like me? She said in response, with a somewhat offended tone to her voice. I apologize if my question sounded offensive. I know you're one of the people who saved Avalis, but I didn't want to say that I knew your identity until you were in a more calm environment. I can imagine the stress fame can cause. The hound changes her expression with a smile. I'm sorry, thank you for your consideration. So, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know really. I went to QIN in search of my parent, at least that was my original intentions. Right now I'm doing a favor for a friend. Your parents? Vix thinks for a moment and sympathizes for Miller. I know how it feels to have a family member missing. I suppose we also made friends to compensate for our losses. Yeah. Let's not talk about such sad things, let's continue finding our companions. Miller gave a determined smile and nods in response. She makes another deep breath using her nose. I can finally track Kai's scent. He's actually really far. The scent is faint. Miller begins to follow the husky's scent with Vix following right behind her. Kai was leaning against a lamppost, with his sniper rifle strapped off, still pondering on who Miller could be with. a black robe, with an energy manipulation staff. Usually only two types of people would have enough affinity to own a staff, he's either royalty or he's no. Whoever that person is, he can't be. The husky stops thinking about Miller's whereabouts and more about the cloaked girl. Then there's that girl, perhaps they know each other. They're both shady and I don't like it, whatever Miller got herself into I hope it won't cause us much trouble. So we have a man in a black robe, I can assume he have Earth affinity and then there's that girl who's in the dark purple cloak, if she's traveling with the mage then maybe she uses ether too, then what's her affinity and what instrument does she use to manipulate energy? Why would they be interested in Miller, other than being one of the people who saved this world? I was able to figure out that Miller doesn't use affinity, so what does she have that they want? I could just be overthinking things, ugh, why am I worried about Miller anyways, we're not friends or anything. Kai continues to think everything over, every time he thinks about Vix and the cloaked girl, the more uneasy he becomes. Why do I keep worrying over Miller, she can take care of herself. She lived by herself for years and even after all that happened 2 years ago. I know, I have to find her anyways, whether I like it or not. As the husky begins to backtrack, something occurred to him. That girl did notice me. Kai snaps his tongue in frustration, the vivid memory of his encounter with the cloaked girl. Just when the husky noticed the girl, he remembered her gesturing with a faint smile. How did I not notice that smile when we cross paths, he said to himself as he began to run the direction he came from. I can only hope that Miller is able to follow my scent now. Miller and Vix decided to get something to eat, it was about 7 in the evening. Both the hound and rabbit began eating some chow mein, as Miller eats her noodle she notices Vix's blank expression, hey you're okay? She says as she swallows her food. Vix notices the hound talk to him, oh sorry, I am thinking that's all. So you're a mage? Huh, oh this. Vix responds as he holds his staff horizontally, the staff was black with a yellow crystal at the top, the crystal had black swirls besides the crystal with a piece of black metal sticking out of both swirls, which made the staff look like a hoe, yes, I guess you can say that. He said with his usual warm smile. It looks weird with those pieces of metal sticking out, Miller said with a smile. So what kind of magic do you do? It's actually called energy manipulation, but magic is an acceptable term. In terms of what it does, well you can say that I'm special. Special? Miller said, still keeping her smile, you can say that I'm special too. Vix makes a small laugh, let's go. Miller gestures with a nod and both the hound and rabbit makes their way through the streets. As the hound walk through the street she notices someone in a dark purple cloak, I think I found who Vix was looking for, she squints her eyes to get a better look of the hooded girl. Her heart sank as she starts to recognize the girl behind that hood, it can't be. The girl removes her hood, revealing a young girl with dark blue hair, purple eyes, and round ears. Miller immediately remembers who the girl was. Nora? The raw version of Chapter 12, Volume 1's final chapter. So how do you like this chapter? Read more, fp.boards.net web link. Read more, fp.boards.net web link.